Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled Death by Service Agreement. Tom, we've both known today's presenter for many years. Rodney has owned a number of businesses and is currently the founder and president of the New Flat Rate. However, today's topic is what you'd call a bit of a wake-up call. It takes a real hard look at how today's typical service agreement is structured and asks the question, why?
You're 100% right, Bill. Today's content kind of throws a bucket of cold water on most everybody's service agreement program. Over the years, most contractors have been told of all the wonderful benefits of a service agreement, from increased customer loyalty to ensuring the future sale of the company. To be honest with you, Bill, Rodney's presentation stepped on my toes just a bit as well. Sometimes it's really good, however, to take a fresh look at an old subject from a totally different perspective.
Well, it sure does, Tom, and it raises some serious questions about why we do what we do. This presentation may not cause all of our listeners to change, but it will require you to take an honest look at the real benefits of your service agreement program. This month's presenter, Rodney Koop, has been in the industry for 40 plus years, during which he has owned multiple businesses. Consequently, he brings a wealth of knowledge and an understanding of consumer purchasing habits that is literally unmatched. Rodney is currently the founder and president of the New Flat Rate, a unique flat rate pricing system for the trades industry. He loves sharing how his new pricing system is a game changer for the trades industry. When it's all said and done, however, Rodney is most passionate about his wife, 9 children, boating, and even more recently, four-wheeling in the mud. And now, with Death by Service Agreement, here is Rodney Koop with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
Hey, Rodney Koop here, founder of the New Flat Rate. And today I want to talk to you about Death by Service Agreement. Hey, if I could fix your service agreement program, what would that look like? I mean, does it sort of feel like gum on a shoe, like something about it's just not quite right? Like maybe it could be better. Well, you know, you remember the phrase, when death by chocolate became a cliche? You can easily find over 50 recipes by that name, and they all sound wonderful. The connotation, of course, was that chocolate tastes so good that you may just eat so much that it kills you. Scary, right? But did you catch yourself saying, what a way to go? There's a lot of names for what I call service agreements. Maintenance agreements, discount agreements, preferred customer agreements, club memberships, preferred club memberships, and on and on. But let's make it simple, and I'll just use the term service agreement for this conversation. So service agreements have been treated like the chocolate of the service business, haven't they? I'll explain that. At one time, they were used to place a value on your business. The prime example was that one service agreement customer was equal to $1,000 in company value. So if you had 5,000 service agreement customers, your company would be worth $5 million. So how did that method work out for you as a business valuation tool? Well, it worked out great for those of you who sold your business to someone foolish enough to use that method. I mean, do we really care why somebody buys our business if they pay a goodly sum? So history has shown that most business... History has shown that most businesses purchased using that method either died a slow, agonizing death or they were resold for pennies on the dollar. As a matter of fact, some of you listening to me may have been one of those who sold your business for a lot of money and then bought it back for pennies on the dollar. You see, I chuckle to myself when I think about how many times some companies exchanged hands at such an unsustainable price. We all make mistakes, and sometimes it's bank error in your favor. But more often it sounds like this. The bank called. They want that money today. Yikes. So let's look at some of the problems caused by that thinking. The first problem is thinking that if my company is worth X dollars per service agreement, well, then I should be able to spend any amount up to X dollars to get a service agreement and still come out ahead. Of course, what you don't realize is you may actually be losing money the whole time you're following that plan. And if you don't actually sell the company for that sum, you're stuck with a very bone-dry company. Maybe that's part of the whole feast and famine thing in the HVAC business. Well, and even other businesses. Now, the second problem is thinking that you can spend money to acquire service agreements. This can take several forms. Remember, if we're going on the assumption that we're just buying money, we're just spending to get company value, then we can do some of these things. We can give incentives to the person who sells the service agreement. We can give discounts on today's work if a customer buys a service agreement. We can give future discounts on service work for service agreement members. Maybe we even give free repairs to these people. We could give priority treatment, such as same day or front of the line service, which, by the way, has a huge cost. A huge cost when you bump a potential new customer that could really, really be a great customer. Because you have to go back and take care of somebody that you promised to put to the front of the line if they were paying you a few dollars a month. Now, you may also have no dispatch or call-out fee for somebody with a service agreement, or maybe just a reduced fee. So maybe your normal service and dispatch fee is $79, but if they have a service agreement with you, they get it for $19. So in a sense, you're giving away, what, $50? I mean, did I say the word giving away? That's exactly what I meant, giving away. Here's another one, work given away or discounted, such as tune-ups. You see, tune-ups are actually work, aren't they? Hey, back in the day, I didn't know any better, and I had a 21-point service agreement. We would even pull and clean the blower, and you know the drill. We did all of this kind of stuff. Now, today, I realize people will gladly pay you $350 to pull and clean the blower, more in some cases. Why would you give that away for a few dollars a month? Well, it's because we thought we were getting a great benefit. So then here's another thing, printing, filing, management costs for your service agreement program, as well as time spent training, promoting, and pushing the service agreement program. It's really a huge, huge cost. Chances are I left something off the list. By my calculations, the 3-year cost for a service agreement customer, now this is the cost to you, to your service business. The 3-year cost is about $2,745. And you probably got paid somewhere in the neighborhood of $567. So you're only out $2,178. Now think about it. You are gambling. You are taking a risk. You are laying $2,178 on the table, hoping that that next card is the ace of spades. You see what I'm saying? Hoping that this will pay off in the long run. Hoping that somebody gave you good advice when they told you that no matter what it costs, go ahead and get a service agreement. Now, a lot of people will tell me, well, our service agreement program makes money. Well, if it does, then I say kudos to you. But it's also very possible that you're not closely looking at the enormous costs. And there's more. I'll get to that in a minute. Now, maybe the numbers that I just used aren't perfect, but they had to come from somewhere. Let's say I'm only half right. Which is what my brother constantly accuses me of being. Let's say you only lose $1,089 per service agreement over, say, 3 years. So when do you get the big payoff? When are you going to get that $1,000 back, not to mention all of the other benefits? Do you get it when you sell a new piece of equipment? Not really, because you should have gotten that sale anyway, just by being a great company. Now you have to take $1,089 off the top of that sale out of profit and add it to cost of business, direct costs. And that likely is most, if not all, of your profit. Think about it. Typical service companies run 2 to 7% net profit. Now, most of you listening to this, I would say, are probably above average. Most of you are probably looking at 10 to 15%. Some of you may be as high as 20% net. But really, depending on whether you're plumbing, heating, air, electric, whatever you are, really 10 to 15% net money at the end of the year, that's actually not too bad. So if you sold a new system for $10,000, your profit is only $1,000. That's before you admit that you've got $1,089 cost because they are a service agreement customer. The truth is, the cost is much, much higher than that. And I'm going to explain to you why your business, as good as it may seem, is not as good as owning a Ford dealership. Now you say, well, it costs millions of dollars to buy a Ford dealership. Well, that may be true. That may be true. But the point is, they will not operate using the methods that we do. When I was a kid back in the late 60s, early 70s, my dad could have bought a Ford dealership simply by buying, say, a dozen cars, some cars and trucks. And he could have opened a Ford dealership in a small town. Now, you can't do that nowadays, can you? But many of you are multi-generational contractors. Many of you go back to your grandfathers running a business. So they started at the same time that somebody may have bought a Ford dealership or something. Here's my point. My point is very simple. Let's just simply know what the service agreement program costs us and if it can be fixed. Now, I have to guess and hope that you're still listening to me. Or you might even want to throw knives at me. Hey, take out a piece of paper and just write down all the things, all the areas where you think that I'm making a big mistake, where you think I'm wrong. It's okay. I don't mind being wrong. I've been wrong before. But I think you're going to make a list and say, you know what? He may be right. And if so, here's what I have to do. I have to prove my numbers. So you might say to me, Rodney, prove your numbers. Well, how about this? What is the number that you built into your pricing for profit on service calls? 15%, 20%, 30%? Now, I'm not talking about the gross margin that includes overhead and everything else. I'm saying how much is left after all the bills are paid, after the taxes are paid, et cetera, et cetera. What's the number you built into your pricing for profit on equipment sales? Is it 10%, 15, 20? Let's get really honest. The numbers are not static, are they? They change. But you do have some static numbers, don't you? For example, when you set up your pricing, you had a budget for direct costs and indirect costs. You made some predictions. Your service agreement program is a part of your strategy to meet those predictions. So let's look at the proof. Look at your bank accounts. Are all of your obligations and expenses paid in full? And do you have an amount in your bank equal to your profit prediction plus, and this is very important, plus your unused budget predictions? Now, keep in mind, if you set up your budget, if you calculated your billable hour using a profit calculator, and you put in, let's say you put in $1,500 for truck maintenance for every truck, but you had a good year and actually didn't have to do any maintenance, right? Except maybe an oil change or two. The point is that $1,500 for every truck should be in the bank at the end of the year, along with the profit. Most contractors spend all of that truck maintenance money, and then they're lucky to have profit at the end of the year. And then if the trucks do need maintenance, where is that money going to come from? Does anybody feel that pain? Are you feeling that? Now, a contractor who is who has a very proficient business mind, he will know to take all of those budget predictions for the, I call it discretionary overhead. In other words, I've got $1,500 a year per truck for maintenance. It's up to me to use it or not. Sometimes my truck tells me when I have to use it. But at the end of the year, if you manage your business correctly, and if you have a good year and a little bit of luck, you should have a lot more money left over than just the profit. And that extra money can go towards maintenance next year or go towards the price of replacing trucks and equipment. But the point is, if you end the year and you don't even have your net profit and you've spent all your discretionary overhead on things that it wasn't budgeted for, you're in trouble. You're actually trouble waiting for an occasion. You're trouble waiting for an occasion. I don't want to be in that position, although I will say this. I know I spent 15 years in that position. Trouble waiting for an occasion. Now, hopefully, some of you come to the end of the year and your predictions turned out to be true. If so, you're likely very solvent and in excellent shape. I would expect that there's many of you listening to this that are in that condition, just like you predicted you would be. However, I think you may be interested in how you can change your service agreement program or utilize it in a better way. Now, for those of you where money is harder to find than a snowball in the desert, well then, maybe you need to take a hard look at what those service agreement programs are really costing you. And the other side of the coin is there are not too many buyers coming around offering $1,000 per service agreement anymore, are there? Now, what's the solution? Be honest about your numbers. If you're not thrilled with your bank accounts, then what happened? Did your billable hour calculator let you down? Did your consultant let you down? Did your accountant let you down? Did your technicians let you down? Or are you just approaching business with some outdated thinking? Maybe it's time for a renovation in our thinking. I'm a student of Ford Motor Company. It's been over 40 years since I first noticed that the local Ford garage was getting four times as much money for an average repair than the local service company. Why? Well, I've asked that question since 1971. I also bought stock in Ford at a young age, trying to look at their reports, which I didn't understand, but I was looking for a solution. How is it that Ford could charge my dad way more money to work on his trucks than my dad could charge them to do their electrical work? And by the way, I would wager that your average service ticket is probably 3 to 4 times lower than your local car dealer's average repair ticket. I will tell you that it's pretty hard to find those numbers. They don't exactly give them out. But I've been 40 years after this. Okay. And of course, I also have many friends who are Ford dealers, service managers, parts managers. Not just Ford, but of course, almost all of the other dealerships as well. So I can ask pertinent questions. And I attend automotive dealer conventions when I can, to listen to speakers telling auto dealers how to make money in the car business. And of course, books and tapes. So what would Ford do? You tell me, how much did your auto dealer discount your most recent repair to get you to buy a service agreement? How much did your auto dealer offer to discount today's work if you would buy a service agreement? Well, and let's go to the front end of the store. Let's say you're looking at a new F-150 truck, or maybe a new Chevy Silverado, maybe a new van. So you're sitting there with the salesman or the sales manager, even the finance office. And in the finance office, they are offering you all kinds of add-ons, aren't they? Roadside service, drivetrain warranties, gap insurance. Who the heck made that up? Gap insurance. You realize they just made that up? Gap insurance. So now, next time you're sitting in a finance office at an auto dealership and they pull out the list, it's actually a menu, it's an amazing menu, very profitable for them. Why don't you ask them, okay, Mr. Finance Manager, let's say that I go ahead and I take the maintenance plan here. How much will you discount this $60,000 truck if I take that? You'll take 10% off of it, won't you? Or 15% off of it, won't you? Or 20% off of it. And by the way, I met one contractor who gives 25% discount to service agreement customers. Now, 10% discount on that Ford truck. Let's just take a $45,000 Ford or Chevy, very nice four-wheel drive pickup. I mean, you can get a pretty good truck for that, believe it or not. You take 10% of that, that's $4,500. 20% is $9,000. Your car dealer would laugh at you. They know that there is not that kind of profit in those vehicles to give away. You say, well, we mark up, we raise our prices. We raise our prices 15% and give back 15%. Please don't tell me you believe that. Now, first of all, if the Ford dealer did that, he would have to raise the prices 15%, which is about, what, $7,500, give or take, on that $4,500 truck? How could he compete against other car dealers? Impossible. He could not. Now, but here's the proof. At the end of the year, go ahead. Here it is, January. I don't know when you're listening to this. I'm recording this in January of 2019. So pull out your end of the year report and show me that you have an extra 15% profit with all those customers who did not buy a service agreement from you. Are we believing a myth? I'm just saying, I want to open your thinking. So if you've got that legal pad laying on your desk, go ahead and write down again. Either Rodney's right or Rodney's wrong. All right, let's go on. Now, I could go on and on with comparisons. I love the auto industry, but I've also studied Home Depot, Lowe's, Menards, Sears, McDonald's. I love studying these companies. Nobody out there gives you a discount to join their club. Lowe's, I love Lowe's. I'll get to that in a minute. Now, I could go on and on with the comparisons, but let's get you out of trouble. First, if you do two visits per year for your service agreement members, drop it to one. Drop your two-year agreement to one. Some of you might be in an extreme climate. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Winnipeg, Manitoba, where my good friend Al lives. Maybe you have to go out there twice a year. But really, with today's modern equipment, I doubt it a whole lot. Okay? Drop it from two visits to one. You say, oh, well, we've done two visits for 100 years. It doesn't matter. People adapt to change. Most people don't want you to come two times a year anyway. Did you know that? And by the way, if you thought you were going to make money on service agreements by selling and upselling every time you go out to do a maintenance or a tune-up, how long does it take them to get tired of that? Isn't it about the third visit where they say something like, are you going to try to sell me something every time you come out here? And let's face it, most of your guys do not sell and upsell on maintenance visits anyway, do they? You see, we're actually living in a dream where we hope everything turns out. Now, by the way, I wouldn't tell you this if I hadn't done it. I bought a HVAC company in 1995. They had a bunch of service agreements, and it was two visits a year, which goes back to the days when you had to go light the pilot light at the beginning of heating season. And then in the spring, you would go and whew, blow out the pilot light and turn on the air conditioner to get it ready for summer. Those days are gone. So in 1995, when I bought a heating and air company for the first time, okay, got distracted. My phone rang. It wasn't supposed to ring. You know how that is. All right, so I bought a heating and air company in 1995. They had two visits a year service agreements that were sold. And I looked at that, and I was new to the heating and air business. My background was electrical. I had an electrical company. This was my first residential service and replacement heating and air company. And so I just thought, oh, yeah, this is great. But what happened is we had a hard time doing two visits a year. Because if we did the spring tune-ups too late and the weather turned hot, back then in 1995, before the industry was, before there was 20 times as many heating and air companies as there is now, which I can explain why that happened if you want to know. But our phones would ring off the hook, and we couldn't get to people. We couldn't get our service agreements done, and if we didn't finish them, by the time the weather got hot and their air conditioner was broke, then we had to do the work for free because they said, well, you were supposed to be here last month, and if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened, because let's face it, our service agreements back then promised the moon, didn't they? Oh, if you'll let us come out and do the maintenance, we guarantee that you won't have any breakdowns in the summer. I mean, we just gave away the farm because we were under the impression that this was the best way to go. All right, so what's next? Oh, so drop it to one visit, and it's very easy to do. You can have a script. People, honest, they won't care, okay? And you don't have to drop your price. More than likely, you'll have no resistance at all. The biggest resistance will be in your mind, thinking this isn't going to work right. While we're talking about change, let me just talk about change. Remember when I was first in business, the salesman came to us and sold us on beepers. You need beepers, right? And so we would beep our technicians. They would have to go find a payphone. We would give them a pocket full of quarters, and they would call us. Some of you are old enough to remember those days. Then Motorola came. The salesman for Motorola came, and he said, you have beepers, don't you? I said, yes. He says, well, then that means you need to communicate. Why aren't you using two-way radios? So we bought the two-way radios. They were way better, by the way, except that when you keyed up and said, KZJ269er, base to Joe, and then you said, okay, Joe, meet me at the Red Lobster for lunch and we'll talk about that. Well, the problem was the other eight technicians all heard that. So you had to buy lunch for nine people plus yourself. Okay, well, those days, remember, then came the cell phones. The first cell phones I bought from a sales lady who came to my office. That was the last time anybody came to my office to sell me communication. From then on, I went to the AT&T or Verizon or Radio Shack, and I picked out my cell phone, didn't I? From somebody with a desktop computer. And we did it all with paper and a desktop computer. Now, when you walk into the Verizon or the AT&T store, you don't even see any computers. There's somebody standing there with an iPad. And they say, hello, Mr. Cope. Somebody will be with you in a minute. And then somebody walks up to you with an iPad. And they do the whole thing standing up. Now, think about this. You've got customers that are 70 or 80 years old that go into those stores and talk to somebody with an iPad. Years ago, that person would have came to their home or business. Do you understand that we all adapt? So when you change some of these things, I'm going to tell you to change, you would be amazed that there will be virtually no resistance. And if you're concerned about it, all you need is a very simple script. And it's amazing. Now, let's move on. So, next thing I'm going to tell you to do is drop your discount to 5% immediately. Believe it or not, high discounts buy you nothing. I do have to put out a disclaimer here and say, I am not telling you to lie. I am not telling you to not honor an agreement that you have in place. If you've promised somebody 15% discount, you have to give that discount. I expect you to give that discount until that contract runs out. But whenever it runs out, you give them the new contract. By the way, this is our new contract, and blah, blah, blah. We're going to come and do a bunch of things. We're going to make you, and then I'll get to what you're going to do in the contract later on. All right. You have to drop to 5%. And here's why I say 5%. Remember I told you that I've spent a lot of time with Home Depot, Lowe's, et cetera, et cetera. Now, my Ford dealer does not give me 5% off, but my Shell gas station gives me 5 cents a gallon off, whether it's diesel or whether it's gasoline, if I have their card. So if I have their, and by the way, I don't do it because it's too much of a pain. I just never get around to doing it. But when I go to Lowe's, where I visit a Lowe's store, I've kept track 35 times a year. I'll go into a Lowe's. Lowe's is closer to my home than Home Depot. That's why I go there. Now, I will tell you this. Home Depot seduced me into taking their credit card, which I didn't want, but they told me I'd get 10% off on purchases. Well, it turned out I only got 10% off that day, so I didn't really care much for that. And it's still another 4 or 5 miles, so I don't go there. But Lowe's, with their card, I get 5% off every day. And I like that. Nothing else. I get no other benefit. But I just know if I use my card, it's 5%. And because I do so much business with them, I like that. And it's very simple, isn't it? Now, so every now and then, Lowe's has a 10% weekend, which is, I like that. That's wonderful. But that's just a way to promote sales. But their normal everyday discount is 5% for card holders. Those of you that know anything about merchant cards know that's really not costing them anything at all, is it? All right. So drop to 5% immediately. If you don't think you can do it, well, I'm just telling you, you can. I don't know how many people have called me and said, Rodney, I can't believe it. I took your advice. We dropped everything to 5%. We've had no resistance. Life is so much better. Stop giving away the farm is my message. All right, third, number three, change immediately to monthly billing. Now, most of you are probably doing monthly billing by now. But if you're not, change to monthly billing. Again, this is done very easily with a simple script, a simple little statement, get them to sign a new agreement, get a credit card number, and immediately go to monthly billings. When I made this change, and we're talking 15 years ago probably, I don't know, let's see. Yeah, probably 10, 12 years ago at least, maybe more. I went to monthly billings. When I did it, I had one or two customers who were elderly, and they said, no, I write checks. One of them said, I'll write you a check every month. All right, that was fine. Then I had a couple of that they still wanted to write me a check once a year, and I was fine with that because 99% of all of my customers just followed the change. When they're on monthly billing, they almost never quit. So it's a great thing for everybody. It's also much easier to sell for $13.95 a month, $19.95 a month, whatever, than it is for to another $189. And by the way, those of you that are selling service agreements are $189 or $289 or whatever. How many of you discount the ticket so much that it's basically free? Come on, who are we kidding? All right, I don't want to make you too mad yet. So let's move on. So most likely, what you believe about service agreements is no longer true. For example, service agreement customers are more loyal than non-service agreement customers. Really? Let's think about that. Make a list of 10. You still got that paper in front of you, right? Make a list of 10 of your most loyal customers. Now, if you actually do this, when I listen to a tape, they tell me to do something. I don't always do. Let's say most of the time I don't. But if you actually do this, you're probably going to have to pause the tape, the CD or whatever you're listening on. So make a list of 10 of your most loyal customers. You know who they are, those customers that treat you like family. Now, circle the ones that have service agreements. Now, underline the ones who would be just as loyal to you even if they did not have a service agreement. I can think of some of my best customers. I can think of customers in homes that had 2 or 3 or 4 units, and over the course of 5 or 10 years, they replaced every unit in that home. We did duct renovations. We did all kinds of things for them, and they never had a service agreement. And you know what? When that great customer comes and buys a new unit and they don't have a service agreement and you don't have to discount it, I don't know. It's a good warm feeling to me. But now, I'm not done with this, right? Now, is it possible that you could have loyal customers without a service agreement? Of course. But let me go back and talk about that loyalty. In this day and age, where hundreds of millions of dollars are spent every day on advertising and marketing, you can be sure someone knows what works. Now, let's say that you have a very loyal customer because they have a service agreement. Do you want to know the one thing that trumps a service agreement? The one thing that will cause them to write a check to your competitor, even though they have a service agreement with you. And everybody's done it. It's happened to everybody, hasn't it? It certainly happened to me where I would have a customer call and say, Rodney, we need to cancel our service agreement. And I'll say, oh, gee, you know, I hate that. Why is that? Well, we just bought a unit from so-and-so heating and air. They had a big sale. And so I'm sorry, but we won't need your, theirs came with a warranty. Does that break your heart? Does that tear your heart out? I can't stand those calls. I hated those calls. Why would a customer with a service agreement who's supposed to be loyal, who I've been giving away money to for all these years waiting to replace their equipment, I might have even recommended that they replace their equipment, and now they bought from my competitor. There's one thing that trumps a service agreement. Probably 80% of the time. I just pulled that number out of the air, but think about it. That's probably a good number. And that is a huge sale. A huge sale. A special once in a lifetime, once in a year. This is the only time we're ever going to do it. We're going to sell you a brand new 20 SEER system for $1.298. Well, heck, I'd even jump on that, even if I had a service agreement with my own company. See what I mean? Somebody decides to do a massive marketing campaign. They will take some of your service agreement customers. Now, what does that mean? And by the way, they probably won't take that customer that loves you without a service agreement. I know a lot of my customers who in all the years I was in business, never bought from a competitor. And there's, you know, but hey, there was a lot of them that did, wasn't there? All right. So I said, is it possible to have loyal customers without service agreements? Of course. Should you get rid of your service agreement program? No, but it should make you money, okay? And by the way, there's only one reason in my mind, okay? This is me. This is Rodney Cope. Not everybody agrees with me. So this is my opinion. My opinion is, in this day and age, there's only one reason to have a service agreement program, and that is because Lowe's has a 5% discount if you use your card. Shell Gas gives you 5% when you use your card. The grocery store, my wife has the little grocery store things, if you know, you get a discount. People are used to getting a very small discount. A lot of people like their discount clubs, and that's what it is a little club. So, to me, that's the only reason to keep it. Now let's do like the grocery stores and Lowe's and let's make money with it. All right. Evaluating true retail companies like Home Depot and Lowe's. I've already told you about that. I'm looking at some notes here. All right. So pay attention. Learn best practices from other industries and do anything you can to eliminate death by service agreement. I'm Rodney Cope, founder of The New Flat Rate. We work with hundreds and hundreds of contractors across the country, and I want to thank you for listening to this, and if I can ever do anything for you, feel free to contact me, and you have a great day.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.